Hey folks, this is Dr. Donnie and this is the Get Balanced Podcast and this is episode 96. And if you would, when you finish listening to this, if you would go out to your podcast platform and give it a big thumbs up, your most favorable rating that you feel it is that is justified for you as the listener, I would greatly appreciate it. I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced Program. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Donnie Hutchinson, and today I am talking about personal accountability. Now, when we think about this in regards with work-life balance, I think it all does come down to personal accountability. In other words, do we really are we accountable for our own actions? Do we take responsibility or do we push it off and start blaming others? And I think this episode is what I want to get to is that I sort of want to hit home with it, is meaning that when we look at work-life balance, and let's take, as we all know, first, for new listeners, I want to talk about work-life balance, and that is my research and everything that I teach. Work-life balance, it has sort of a foundational element to it, or a prerequisite, if you will. And what that is it's about your health and wellness, and it's about your self-care and how well are we doing with taking good, effective management practices of our self-care. And let me break self-care down in the four quadrants that I use in my research. First, we have our physical care. And if you think about your physical care, I mean, there are many things that go into it, but the major elements, if you will, you have your diet, right? You have exercise, you have sleep, and you have preventive medical care. And so when we look at that, that's one element, one pillar, if you will, physical self-care. The other pillar is the psychological or mental health, that self-care need. And when it comes down to that, it's like, how well are we taking care of our mental health? Now, that could be whether you're talking to peer support, you have a good friend to talk to, you're speaking with a culturally competent coach or therapist, or there could be other things out there as well. But that's another piece of our health, right? And then the third one is our social self-care needs. Now, for most, especially in the firehouse world, you know, you have a built-in social component, right? You spend 24 or 48 hours together with the crew. And you have that. You have the firehouse family. You have your second family. Now, with law enforcement, you also have that second family with the brothers and sisters that you serve with. But you're not eating at the kitchen table together and as in fire. So a little bit different. But you have that social self-care. And most of you do pretty good with that. But a question that I always ask is that, do you have social circles outside of whether you're in the fire or whether you're in law enforcement or emergency medicine? So that's one, that's that third pillar, if you will. And then the fourth one is your spiritual wellness, right? Do you pray? Do you go to church? Do you go to some worship service? Do you walk in nature? Do you meditate? You know, what are you doing with that spiritual wellness and how are you fulfilling that need? Now, some of you may be thinking, well, I really don't have all those needs and things like that. Now, I understand that you may think that way. However, these are universal needs. They've been studied for a long time. And they're universal, meaning they are for and needed by every person in the world. You know, can you imagine? You know, we know what it's like not to eat or drink, right? For an extended period of time, that doesn't go over very well. Or you know what it's like not to sleep for an extended period of time. That doesn't go over very well. But the same thing, these are all needs. And this is what's foundational to work-life balance. Because my definition of work-life balance, I try to simplify it with this definition. And it's more in a question than a definition. It is really simply about, are you aligning your day-to-day behaviors with your priorities in life? Now, when we think about priorities in life, one of the things that, you know, it boils down to two things. It's your health and it's your close personal relationships. Now, work is important, we all know, but this is about work-life balance. Generally, we put a tremendous amount of effort into our work and we are personally accountable to our work. We don't miss shifts. We volunteer for overtime. We volunteer for the project. We volunteer for the volunteer committee, right? We do all kinds of things. We're constantly helping others. All of you listening are public servants, right? You serve the public. And you've heard me say before is that you're always going to serve the public, but sometimes I question, do you forget to serve yourself and serve your families? Now, that may sound selfish. Now, with it sounding, it may sound selfish, and I get that. However, with that, it is actually the opposite. Because the better you care for yourself, and this is where the research is today, the better you take care of yourself, the more effective you will be at serving your community as a public servant and your families. And that's how we actually get to that work-life balance, is taking better care of ourselves. We are in better position to take care of others. Now, let's go back to the title of this episode 35. Which is personal accountability. Are we personally accountable for our health? Now, there are some things that are out of our control. However, is it in our control on eating a nutritiously balanced diet, not overeating? Is it in your control to not drink too much alcohol? Is it in your control not to smoke? Yeah. Is it in your control to stay hydrated? Is it in your control to have an exercise program that is applicable to your profession? Is it functionally fit, right? And when it comes down to it, this is where our personal accountability needs to kick in. Now, I get it. We are in a culture. I'm not saying law enforcement culture or the firehouse culture or emergency medicine culture. I'm saying the culture of America. We are in a culture of skirting personal responsibility. I mean, if you think about it, we have 75 to 80% of people in our country, including all professions, that are overweight and obese. And do we as a culture, American culture, the number one killer of us comes from preventable diseases. And what do we mean by preventable diseases? We mean these are behavior-related diseases. We're eating too much. We're not getting up and active. We have a surge in childhood obesity like has never been seen before. Now, we can blame it on electronic games. We can blame it on fast food. We can blame it on packaged food. We can blame it on hundreds of things. I don't have time to exercise. I'm too tired to exercise. I don't have time to meal prep. I do not have time to eat healthy. That's what's been going on. We are blaming. What we're not doing is looking at the person in the mirror and saying, how am I accountable? What could I do differently? And folks, that's where I think we really need to be. And that's why I said I wanted to get this is getting personal here, is that that's where we need to be. We need to start looking in the mirror and saying, what can I do differently? Because we are actually in control. You know, as you've heard me say probably before, we're the architect of our life, or we're the author of our life. And when we start blaming others, it's like we give them the pen to to write the chapters of our life. Okay, I'm going to be overweight. I'm going to be out of shape. I'm going to get hurt on the job because I'm not taking care of myself. I'm going to get type 2 diabetes because my BMI is so high. I'm going to contribute to cardiovascular risks because of what I'm eating and not doing, or not taking my medicine as prescribed. You know, we're contributing to those things versus, hey, why don't you take that pen back and start writing your own chapter? What can you do? And that's where this personal accountability, this is where leadership, and I truly mean this, leadership from all ranks, all people, all professions need to step up. And there's no better profession to step up than medicine. We look at doctors and nurses. They are actually higher than the average population for being overweight and obese. Isn't that a sad statistic? And what do we hear about everyone? They have to work more and more because, you know, then they blame it on the insurance companies. Well, with the insurance companies, they change everything. So now they have to see more patients and they have to rotate the patients and all this to get the revenue in. And I get it. I believe in all of that. But at the end of the day, is it worth your health? We often talk about on social media and in, you know, basically it's only on social media because it's not really in the news, is that the number of suicides in law enforcement and in firefighting. And a lot of you, if you're listening to this, I know you know the statistics of that. It's an alarming rate and it's horrible. But have you heard about it for physicians? You may have, or, you know, I had not. I didn't hear about it until this weekend. And I think the statistic I got was about 3 years ago, over 400 physicians committed suicide. I was like, this is crazy. I had no idea. They get burned out from the job, and they're pushing. They don't take care of their health. And, you know, that's where it's like, folks, is the price too high to do the job you love? I mean, do you really want to give up all of that, give up your family and all of that? You know, I think we're like the rat on the wheel. We are just running and gunning, which is great for short spurts, but we need to jump off the wheel, right? Exercise, diet, not diet as in, you know, eat nutritiously, try to get our sleep. And I know that's difficult. Do our preventive health. Do our mental health. You know, we think of mental health only when something goes bad. How about going to see a therapist, culturally competent therapist, or talk to peer support when you're actually doing well? What about how to keep doing well? How to build up that resiliency? And I think that's too, is where my whole piece about work-life balance and it helps build that resiliency. Meaning that, you know, when that foundation from your health, from your physical health, your mental health, your social and spiritual health, and then you have improvement in family relationships. And if you have all of that going well, which is in your control, personally accountable for your self-care needs, wouldn't it make it better in the work that you do and become more resilient? I mean, you see terrible things. You see the horrible traumas. And you see loss, you see suffering, and you do that as well. You personally experience it. But if we have all this other foundation lined up that we're doing really well, we know that we bounce back better. And we know that, you know, we do better when we catch something early. And that's why I say, I encourage you, think of mental health as it's a tune-up. It's like one of the things that I love studying is positive psychology. And the difference between regular psychology and positive psychology, if you think about psychology and the history of psychology, it would take people that were struggling with something and try to bring them up to whatever would be considered normal, right? It's like, okay, we have a problem. Okay, we got to get them up to a normal position. Positive psychology, it only started about 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And the beauty of what positive psychology is about, it's about, hey, how about those folks that are doing generally well, right? They're at that normal, they're in that normal range of mental health. They're doing well. Doesn't mean that they're never sad or depressed or anything like that, but generally they're doing well. How do we take that group and get them to move up here? How do we get them to flourish? How do we get them to be the best version of themselves? And that's what positive psychology is about. And I'm not just talking about giving yourself a pep talk. I'm talking about certain things. I'll give you an example. One of the things that I do every single morning is, and it comes from positive psychology, is after I get my coffee, get up out of bed, get my coffee, get my wife a cup of coffee. And what I do is that I go into my sunroom. And as soon as I sit down, I spend the first 3 minutes thinking about what I'm grateful for. And usually it's what I'm grateful for is from the previous day. What went well? And I'm not talking huge milestones here. I mean, that could be great. I'd be grateful for that as well. But I'll give you examples. I'm grateful for the nice conversation I had with my wife last night. I'm grateful that my two teenage daughters seem to be happy and they came home, safe last night. I'm grateful for my son, got a nice score on his EMT test. So I'm grateful that my oldest daughter is doing well in her career. She's clear across the country. So it's these little things, just little things, 3 minutes of gratitude. And then what I do is I move into 3 minutes of prayer. And I pray about things that I wish or that I'm seeking for, or again, that I'm thankful for, or that I need help with. And then I think about the three most important things that I want to accomplish that day. That's an example of what positive psychology is, especially the gratitude and prayer piece. It's about, that being thankful. And when you're thankful and you do this every single day, studies are out there, you will feel better. You really will. And it's about being grateful for the small things in life. Because as we journey through life, and that's what work-life balance, part of what I got to get out and tell people. It's about, man, enjoy the journey. You're on this life. You're in this life, man. Enjoy the journey every single day. Find something to enjoy. Because I know when I talk to people, and I talk to so many, and I talked to a flight paramedic on the airplane, and she is telling me, I came back from Flagstaff. I was doing a couple of work-life balance workshops with Flagstaff Police Department, as well as the Hopi law enforcement officers on the reservation. And this flight nurse told me that, she works multiple jobs, but the thing is that she listens to a national or actually probably world-renowned person on financial responsibility, and that she pays down debt, she works the overtime, it's save, save, save. And she's married and sounds like a very happy marriage and everything like that. But it was a lot about work hard and provide for your future, which we do want to do, absolutely. But I want to check one thing. I encourage you to work very hard, save for the future. However, make sure you're taking care of your health. Make sure you're taking care of that mental health, physical health. Make sure your foundation is rock solid with those self-care needs so that when you hit that age of retirement, you get to experience a long and happy retirement. Because right now we know retirement, it does not go very long in the current status of where firefighters and law enforcement and emergency medicine is. You don't really live a long retired life. You reach it, but you don't get to enjoy it. And I'm saying, hey, folks, let's take a time out. Let's reassess this. Yes, still work hard. I'm all about working hard. But I'm all about balancing it with, hey, you know, refill yourself. You got to fill yourself up. And so that you can pour it out to others. You can even pour it out on yourself. As in, what I mean by filling it up is take care of those self-care needs. And then that way you are better at taking care of business, right? Whether you're at the firehouse, law enforcement, EMT. You're better at taking care of your personal relationships, your family, your children, your spouse, extended family, best friends. Everything and everyone benefits when we satisfy these preventive needs. And I'd be reluctant if I did not say, and make sure you're taking care of that preventive health. You know, whether, you know, get the best screenings you can get out there. Take the medication that you're supposed to take and work through it. And if it doesn't, you know, for example, if medication is not agreeing with you or something like that, go back to your doctor. Change the medication, get something that agrees with you. And when we wrap this up, it's coming down to that personal accountability. I think it's time for all of us can lead. And the most important person to lead right now in the culture that we're in is ourselves. Be the leader of yourself. Paint that picture. What future do you desire for yourself? Start with you. Because I know it's going to bleed over to everyone you love. But you got to really suck it up and focus on yourself. And when I say, what can you start doing for yourself? One thing I encourage you to do, and I got this from my wife. She's brilliant at this. She goes, you know what? When I look at people, and she's talking about people, friends, family, and things like that, that they want to start eating healthier or they want to start exercising. The problem she identified is, and I think it's completely accurate, is that it's either all or nothing. I'm all in or I'm not. So I'm either really watching what I eat and I'm going to stay at this amount and, you know, whatever it may be, 1500 calories, and I'm going to do it. But if they go over that a little bit, all of a sudden it's like, the heck with it. Bring on the dessert, bring on the bread, bring on the carbs, bring on the sugars. And they say, screw it. Or exercising. I'm going to hit the gym 4 times a week. And if they miss, then I just can't do it. Well, what she encourages at her social circles is that, look, start with something small. Get some small successes under your belt. And I truly believe that. You know, it's okay. Like for her, she started exercising about a year ago. Now she's genetically blessed but she started to exercise because she wanted to start feeling better. And she comes home from work. She's a public school teacher. She comes home from work exhausted. And she found out that she really struggled exercising after work. So what she does is she does certain exercises in the classroom and gets the kids. She takes breaks with the kids and gets the kids to do it. And believe me, these kids need to do it. All kids do. They need more activity. So she's doing it in the classroom. 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here. Does it throughout the day. Little small things. So instead of it being all or nothing, she learned to adapt. And it's been very successful for her. And that's what I encourage you to do. Don't be an all or nothing kind of a person. And I know sometimes that's your personalities out there. You know, you're all in type A and just want to bust through it. But you know what? Let's be smart about it. Something's better than nothing. I'm all about, which way are you trending? Are you trending for improvement? Or are you trending downward? I would encourage you to focus just on an upward trend. Focus on small improvements. Build some new habits. Be personally accountable for small improvements. Because at the end of the day, remember, you hold the pen. This is your life. You get to write the next chapter in your life. What do you want it to be? What do you desire? And I'd like for you to really ponder that. And then at the end of this podcast, I'd like for you to write down a few things that you want to accomplish. And if you want some help with it, you want a personal accountability coach, send me an email, donnie@donniehutchinson.com. Let me know what you're working on, and I'll send you an email back once or twice a week, just pinging you, asking you how you're doing. No charges. I just want to do that for you. Because I know if we start being personally accountable and we start getting the trend line to moving forward, upward, I mean, and doing better with our physical care, all areas of it, our mental health, our social and our spiritual, we're going to have another, or we're going to have it actually an epidemic on our hands. And that epidemic is going to be self-care. And it's about improving our health, reducing preventable diseases, extending our lives, and being able to live a healthier life that's more enjoyable. Who doesn't want that, right? Also, I'd encourage you to pick up that gratitude piece. If you have faith, pick up that prayer piece. It's wonderful. It really, really works. I'd love to hear from you regardless. All right. I think that's it for today. Work-life balance, personal accountability. It all starts with our self-care. If you have any questions, please give me a shout. Take care. Oh, actually, I always forget sometimes when I'm doing this on my own, I like to close with a blessing. And for all of you first responders out there, and anyone that's maybe listening that's not a first responder, I ask God to bless you, ask you to keep you healthy, happy, and safe. I thank you for being the public servants that you are. I thank you for taking care of all of us. And in a culture where appreciation is not shown, and a lot of times where hatred is shown, I want you to know there are so many more of us out here that love you, have your backs, and we pray for you all the time. We ask this through Christ. Amen. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.